The women who visited the empty tomb were surprised. The disciples were astonished. Thomas doubted. Even though Jesus had predicted his own resurrection, no one believed in the gospel. There are certain things in life that follow that we don't actually follow with. That is, the next thing that is expected sometimes doesn't actually register to us as likely to happen. And I sometimes think that too many people are done when you get to the cross. See, Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He died for all of our sins, and we get to go to heaven and they're satisfied. As if there is nothing left to do except wait. And then, typically, watch the step and go to eternity. Some people ask as if, on the other side of Jesus' amazing ministry, that was cut short by a horrific physical death, there is a screaming door that heaven waits on the other side, life forever. Now, these people are not technically wrong. It's that they have abbreviated what Jesus came and set in motion to those who will live in God's eternal home. Let me repeat that. They are not technically wrong. It's that they have abbreviated what Jesus came to set in motion to those who will live in God's eternal home. You see, it's not enough simply acknowledging that Jesus came and lived and died for our sins. It appears that Jesus has invited you and me to own, to embrace the reality of the cross, rather in the empty tomb, that he died and rose to new life. Or, I need to tell you this morning that Jesus loves the word and, because there's always something more. That he died and rose to new life, and you and I need to know that he lived back then as he revealed himself to the disciples, and today, seated beside the Father in heaven, always enjoying life with you and me as his Holy Spirit lives in us and through us. And there's more. Jesus also desires that you and I would live our daily lives such that our words and our actions would catch other people's attention, whether it is actually the words we say or the kind of lives that we live. And I read the scripture, you and I are to be the bridge across which the gospel will flow from Jesus to others through our lives, through our words, to those who don't know what you and I know. We are also to be willing to speak to those who want to, those who have needs in their daily lives, and to do what it takes to meet those needs. And we are to be the hands or arms that have those who are suffering from oppression, who are caught in loneliness, and you and I are the disciples and the women heard Jesus explain in his teaching, but didn't quite grasp is what we're going to talk about this morning. The subject of the passage in Luke 24 that we're going to walk through. If you have your Bible, you'd like to turn to Luke 24, we're going to begin at verse 1. And I'm going to kind of wander through that and make some comments. Maybe pulling in some verses from Matthew, Mark, and John. But at the end of that walkthrough, you and I will be pretty much on the same page of what we know happened that morning. Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, that would be the day after Sabbath, which is yours and my Sunday. Very early in the morning, like at the top of the road, when the first possible light came above the horizon, the moon took 5 to 10 because I'm assuming they had
prayed together the day before, and they were now ready. They were up early, and they were waiting for first light so that they could bloom. And they took these spices, and when I say spices, they didn't take very expensive. They took oil, they took ointment, they took powder. And what they were going to do was wrap them in with Jesus so that it would overpower the smell of death. Because unlike our bodies that are buried in steel pots in the ground, their bodies were placed with a stone cast against them. They were deleted, and they were found out. That the body of Jesus might not be there wasn't on their way. Let me say that again. That the body of Jesus might not be there was not on their way. None of the teachings that Jesus had offered and multiple times he had talked about rallied them after his death. None of it. They were not there to find an empty tomb. What happened? People often left the body in the dead. They study the Bible as a new historical document, and they go to church as it's going to a memorial service. But Jesus is not among the dead. He lives. He reigns in the hearts of Christians, and he is the living head of the church. What they were wondering about the son of the tomb, and Matthew tells us they were angels. He followed that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. That is phrase gleamed like lightning. It's a similar description to what Jesus looked like when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, or what Moses' face looked like when he came out from having spoken with God and he had to wear that veil because people were like, whoa! In those places, the two angels that disappeared there. The women bowed down with their faces to the ground. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. The men said to them, why do you look for the living and mourn the dead? You see, they had come to anoint a body, a dead body in the tomb. He is not here. He is risen. Resurrected. The angels were just repeating what Jesus had taught them over and over again. Remember how he said to you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised to life again. That he would die and rise, that he would die and live again. I think we have so much fun with this passage. One teacher said it was, God's Son was frustrated, frustrated. The empty tomb had been presented as part of Jesus' ministry to the disciples and to the women. And what happened was exactly what God said would happen. Verse 8. Then they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. He did say that. Over Bob's house, and then he was down by the water. And he might have said it when he was on the phone with him. They told all these things to the 11 and the others that were gathered with them. And I want to believe that they told us that they kind of put a spin on their reporters that they knew what the others didn't remember. But that's the thing. They said, there's no evidence for them. There is another James and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they, the men, they don't believe the women because their words seem to them like necessary. In some materials and commentaries, the men here, they take a view. Not believing the women because they were women. And at least it is not a real thing what the man actually sees it. And if you see it, you say, who knew these words? Like Luke explains it, because their words seem to them like nonsense. But God quickly suspects that some of them have watched this all the way to the end. But the resurrection, they would need to see to believe. He had to be willing to the tomb. But he is always here. He's always looking ahead. He's always thinking first. Bending over and saw the strips of linen rolling off his saddle. And he went away wondering to himself, what had happened? I like John's version of this passage. In John 20, verse 3. So Peter and the other disciples, that would be the Apostle John, started for the tomb. Jesus was looking, but the other disciples, John, after Peter reached the tomb first, he bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen. There's a little more tender, a little more tender. With a line there, but he did not go in. And then finally Peter came along, waving his hand in the wind, straight into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. And the beautiful thing about this passage is that forever recorded in the Bible, John outran Peter. John outran Peter to the tomb, forever in Scripture. But also, forever recorded in the Bible, is the fact that one of the people who had enjoyed Jesus' teaching accepted and went to Peter. It wasn't in their mind. But the thing is, in our mind, we mostly see death as the end. And I'm assuming what you're saying to them. It's the end. And to the disciples, not only was it the same, but after several death-defying miracles, it was still the same. There was life in the world, on the cross. Some had thrown the spirit in the blood, and they had fled the field, scared for their own lives. But the Lord, Jesus was gone. Maybe he wasn't the one. Maybe we missed something. Maybe. And then we get that way when it doesn't play out the way we thought it would. And we can sit there and say, how did they miss that? I mean, we read the words that they were told. They were there and heard them before. How could they miss that? But we didn't have anything from them. There are studies about you and me. Studies and reports that verify that are accused to death are filled with church people who doubt the resurrection. People like you and me, we do church and truth. We sing the songs. But in the bottom of our heart, the back of our minds, there is this nagging voice that says, did he really come to life? Is that what he really did? And when people like that are talking in conversation and they're asked what it is they seem to hold to is the idea that Jesus makes this kind of life possible. It's more lifestyle than being alive again. Maybe thinking, that's what your real thing. But the text tells us that he came back. The angel's word will haunt us. Verse 5. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Tombs are for the dead. Jesus was not dead. Jesus said, he's not here. He was risen. Risen, resurrection, and risen, still risen, and risen. Today we remember the empty tomb. We celebrate a living Savior, and we get to look back in the face and go, because we know better. And this morning, we're going to stop at the table, and we are going to remember Jesus' gift of life. His life for our life. maturity, we might see the gift differently in life of our empty tomb Jesus. The tomb was empty. It wasn't what they expected. It's not what many people today think. They think you and I have an interesting life to have. Maybe a little bit. So I'd like to take us to the table this morning. But first, I want to go back to the beginning of my sermon, and I want to repeat to you what I began. The cross is the way to eternal life. But eternal life is more than that. Jesus also desires that we live our daily life such that our words and our actions catch the attention of those around us, whether it be the words that we say or the kind of lives that we live. But they really stand out that there is something different about us, and they would see it, they would know it, because we have been different in front of them. In the scriptures, it seems that your eyes are to be the bridge across which the gospel passes from us to them. And that's perhaps the easiest way to help them see something of it, is to use words, our mouth, also words, describing for them what we have experienced. And the answer to the very truth that was to those who are new, that we might be there in their need, that we might assist them in their need. And then a very special kind of need, loneliness, sadness, brokenness. There we might need our hands and our arms to just wrap around them and allow them to not just know, but to know. They're not alone in what it is they're struggling with. These are the marks of those who know Jesus' Savior. Is that what your life looks like between families? If it doesn't, eternal life is made of you. Eternal life is living a Jesus kind of life between God. It is doing and saying what others might take and also want eternal life. And this morning, as we partake of the Lord, please keep in mind that we remember Jesus' gift of dying in our place. Dying in our place. But now, he was perfect, he was sinless, and he took upon him all of our corporate sins, every single one of them. But he also lives that we might live lives that bring life closer to those yet to meet.